So today we're talking about the power of prayer, the power of prayer. And we pray differently in New Thought than most of the world. And we pray as the divine. Get it? We don't just pray to the divine somewhere out there begging for mercy on us. We pray as knowing that we are one with the divine, one with love, one with all that is good, one organism with every other being, alive and not alive, in this universe. Every being from the past, every being from the future, we are one with all that. To pray a prayer that knows that takes a lot of centering. And we don't always get it right, and that's okay. That's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. So, at its best, prayer is simply union. It's union with all that is. It's what yoga means. Yoga means union. That's all it means. Doesn't mean twist yourself into a pretzel mode. Hatha yoga is one method of trying to find that union with the divine, with all that is. But prayer is an easy, you can do it at home, you can do it in your car, you can do it out on the football field. A lot of people do that. You can do it wherever you are. And it can center you, and you can know. It can get you out of all kinds of jams, because most of our jams are of our own making, right? So it is our ever-present, belonging to each one of us, way in to that union, which gives us a way into this world with a completely different attitude, a different way of knowing, a different way of thinking, a different way of speaking, and a different way of being. That's the power of prayer. So this oneness with humanity as well as divinity, when we pray, when you pray just yourself, that is the first thing, is to get yourself into a state of mind that actually, I am not begging something out there, I am belonging to something that's already here that I forgot I belonged to. And this idea of the plowshare comes from Isaiah. There is a verse there that says, a couple verses, many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Every time I say the word Lord, substitute the word love. That's all it is. That's all it means. The word of love from Jerusalem. Love shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's the idea of the plowshare, that it becomes that instead of making war, we use our intellect, we use the steel of our intellect, the steel of our emotions, the steel of our psychological makeup, the steel of our individuality, the steel of our community. Rather than weaponizing it, we use it to cultivate. That's what a plowshare is. It just breaks new ground, just breaks the surface off. And so anything in your life can be a plowshare. Anything in my life can be a plowshare if I allow it to be. I always have that choice. We talk about a choice of love or not love, choice of sword or plowshare, a choice of violence or nonviolence. That's what it means. And so when we pray for others, which we do, first of all, we establish that union within ourselves. We come from that union. And from that union, we can touch and invite into our own hearts infinite compassion. And compassion is defined as not only feeling the suffering or feeling bad for the suffering of others, but wanting deeply to alleviate it, to make it better, to make it better. So we pray with compassion. We pray from union. We pray with compassion. We want to relieve suffering. And we hold space because it's not us doing it. All we do is stretch out a space in which we know the divine in us and through us and as us and in and through and as everyone else can do its work. Not Melinda doing it. Not little human Melinda. She is not that good. I promise you. Come home with me for a day. But I can, when I pray with you, hold space for the divine to do its work in you and as you, just as I allow it to do its work in me and as me. So that's a very important thing that we do when we pray for other people. We simply hold a space. We don't have to direct God. Okay, God, here's what I need. I got a list. I'm standing here in front of Susan, and she needs this and this and this and this, and she needs it by Tuesday at 5, right? That tends to be kind of the way we pray a lot of the time. But instead, I'm going to hold space for God to do God's work in Susan. And one of the ways I do that is simply witness. Witness is powerful. To hear someone's pain, not to take it on for yourself, but to actually hear it, to listen to it, to allow it to awaken the compassion within us as we hear the pain of another. It's validating. Have you ever, you just want to be heard. You don't need anybody to fix you. You just need someone to hear your pain. Anybody ever had that experience? Anybody ever had the experience of wanting to share your pain and then somebody come with a list of all the things you need to do? Yeah. Not helpful. Certainly not the way we pray. Not the way we pray. We witness. What we do in prayer is we, instead of changing God's mind so that we get what we want from our ego selves, we pray to align our whole self with the divine part of us. Our body is not, at this moment, separate from our divinity. Our divinity is housed in this body. Our divinity is actually housed in this ego that is part of this human experience. It's way larger. Now, don't tell the ego that because it thinks it's the biggest thing of all. But the truth is, the ego is powerless in the face of the divine. But we give the ego a lot of power a lot of the time. And so what we do in prayer, whether it's for ourselves or for someone else or for the whole world, is we ask that our ego be aligned with the will of God, that my will is thy will and thy will is mine. And I'm doing that just because culturally that's what I do. Thy will is mine. Thy will is mine. Thy will is mine. The will of the divine is my will. So I'm not changing God's mind. I'm changing mine. I've heard that God's mind doesn't need changing. And that perhaps, maybe, a little bit, I do. So I'm aligning with God's will. And when we begin to ask our egos to align with this higher will that is already present within us, when we begin to do so, our perspective is expansive. Because when we're praying for, you know, all of those sports teams that are praying for their team to win, well, the opposition is praying for their team to win too. In every war, there are religious people praying that we win this righteous holy war. There is no holy war. That is an oxymoron. The only holy war is perhaps the war within yourself where you subjugate your ego to your divinity. But other than that, there is no holy war. We're always being called to take whatever sword we're about to plunge and beat it into a plowshare and break open some ground. And most of the time, the ground that needs breaking is us. We need to be broken open enough to gain that wider perspective and to know not just that there's two sides to every story. I hear that all the time. There's two sides to every story. No, they're not. There are infinite sides to every story because every person who tells the story is standing in a different spot and has a different perspective. They bring a different experience to it. They have different goals in mind. There are infinite number of perspectives and we don't have to choose the right one. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes we think we need to choose the right one in the same way that we have two political parties and we need to choose the right one to vote for. No. There are infinite perspectives, and we can tune in to that expansive perspective. We can't know it all, but we can know that it's there and allow our ego to be subjugated to that. That there is a greater good, that there is something more going on than my little world and what I want in it. And so I begin to ask my ego to want more than anything. Yeah, I know you get me through this world. You keep me from, you know, just plunging into whatever. Our ego has a purpose. It helps us navigate. Ego is like a car that we drive while we're in these human bodies, okay? Car's not a bad thing. You can kill somebody with a car. You can kill a lot of people with a car. But the car of itself doesn't do anything if you're sitting in the driver's seat. And if we allow our divinity to sit in the driver's seat, then it can navigate, it can help our ego navigate this world in a way that is kind and compassionate and expansive. And so that's what we want to do. We want to gain that wider perspective. We just simply say, help me see this as more than I think it is. And you don't even have to see the whole thing or come up with a list of, oh, I see it's this and it's this and it's this. Just know that it is all the things you think it could be and billions more things that haven't even occurred to you. It's that wide. And when we come into a perspective that is that wide, we can begin to come into acceptance that everything actually is working for good, that we are evolving as individuals and as a species and as a planet and as a universe, we are evolving. And how are we evolving? We're evolving into remembering who we were in the first place. We come from love. Love is where we're going. In the meantime, we found ourselves dropped off into some rocky territory, and we forgot. We forgot how to get there. So we begin to come into acceptance, which doesn't mean that you condone it or that you like it. You don't have to like it. I don't have to like it. But I can accept that it is what is. And when I use energy to fight what is, I waste a lot of energy that could be used in declaring my union, that could be used in giving my compassion, that could be used in holding space for the oneness of all. Every moment that I spend judging, which is what not being in acceptance is, judging, every moment that I spend judging is a moment that I'm not in union. And so I can begin to catch myself judging and go, oh, there I go again. It's not a time to beat yourself up. Oh, no, I did it again. It's just like, oh, there I go, being human. And thank you, God, for helping me remember that there's more to me than that. Thank you, higher Melinda, for reminding me that there's more to me than this. And then this scared little ego. And then when we get to acceptance, and it's easier to get to acceptance if you have a belief that love is what we come from and love is what we're going to, that there is a oneness and that everything that happens is good, either immediate good or for our good. For our good. A plowshare isn't, you know, like rubbing lotion over yourself. It's actually breaking something open, right? It's breaking open the crust of the earth so that we can cultivate what's deeper and what's nourishing and what's rich underneath. And so, yeah, it can hurt a little bit. to get to that acceptance. But if we believe that when we are broken open, what we find in there is love. I know Chris talked last week about imperfection and used that quote from Leonard Cohen and from Rumi, that the wound is where the light gets in. There's a crack in everything. There's a crack in everything. And that's how the light gets in. That is the truth. And actually, it's not how the light gets in. It's how the light gets out, too. It's our connection with the light that is inside of us and outside of us all together. We're not trying to add something to us that doesn't already belong to us. We're trying to break down the wall that we put up when we started to believe that we were separate from that love, that we were separate from each other. We started to believe that, and look what it's done. And if we unbelieve that, if we start to know our oneness in every way possible that we can, humanly, imperfectly, perfectly, imperfectly, when we start to do that, then is where the healing happens. Then is where we know who we are. Our perspective is wider, and that leads us to gratitude. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Meister Eckhart said, if thank you were the only prayer you ever said in your life, it would be enough. It would be enough. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You don't have to say thank you for. You can just say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And when your mind, your little ego starts to go, thanks for what? For this? I don't want this at all. And it will. Yeah, right, thanks. Your ego can be very sarcastic, by the way. Say, no, 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 I know, bless your heart, I know, it's hard, and there's more, and we're safe. We're safe here. It doesn't always feel good, but we're safe here. We're safe here. So that is basically the way we pray in New Thought. That is this process of invoking awareness that we are one. Not, please God, come in. We need you down here. But please, Melinda, be aware that God is already here. Not outside of me, but all around and within and through and as me. To invoke that awareness of oneness. And then in a spoken prayer, we speak that. We say, thank you, God, for being here. Thank you for my awareness in this moment that we are one. May we all be aware of that. And then whatever the problem is that we're praying about, whatever it is, we don't have to fix the problem. We don't have to figure out how at all. We get to just know with our whole heart and mind, God is way bigger than this. Whatever that problem is, Spirit is so much bigger than this and already has it worked out. And yes, as humans, we may go through some pain before this is all over. It's our being broken open. It's the plowshare. And even though it might not feel good, it's all good. It's all good. So we align with that will of God, believing that the good is on its way. We don't have to say, here's what the good is, and I'm believing it's on. I know that God wants a Mercedes for me, and I'm believing that Mercedes, and make a treasure map of it. I'm going to be very specific. I want the year and the model and the color and the whole thing. You can do that if you want to. I personally have always felt like that was, you know, sort of a misuse of whatever power we might hold in our individual self. But here's the deal. When we're not in our individual ego self, we have unlimited power because we are the power of the whole. It's only when we put our little selves and our little wants and needs in the way that we have just enough power for, maybe we have enough power to do this thing, whatever it is. And yet, do we want a little bit of power to get what we want in this moment, knowing that we don't know anything about what's going on? Or do we want the power of the whole? The power of the whole. So, We know, we believe that good is on its way, and we don't even have to name what good. We just know it's the good of love, it's the good of God, and that's enough for me. And then we say thanks. Jesus talked about pray believing that you've already received. And here's the deal. Your good never went anywhere. It's not anywhere else but right here. So the truth is you have already received. It may take a while to see that played out in human terms. It may go completely differently in human terms than you wish it would go. And yet, if you're open, if you hold the belief that it is good or it's for your good, it's good or it's for my good, then I am open to all of the gifts that come with whatever it is. And I can do that safely because I trust that love is the beginning and the end and everything in the middle. And I don't know how people who don't believe that make it through this world. People trying to bargain with God or be good enough. I have not had very good experience with trying to be good enough. That's the message I got when I was very young. And boy, did I work hard at it. Boy, did I work hard at it. I don't think anybody could have worked harder than I did to be good. And yet, look, I turned out this way anyway. Right? And part of the reason that I am as open and as free as I am now is I gave up on trying to be good and started putting my energy toward knowing that I am. I am. I am. I don't always show it, but I'm developing the skill to show it to the outer world. That's what this is. That's what prayer is. We're developing the skill to live on the outside the truth that's already on the inside. And so here's what prayer is not. It's not begging. Please, God, please, God, please, God. Now I'm going to tell you, sometimes I beg. When the chips are down, my first instinct is to go, please, 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 please. And then I go, okay, well, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I can either use my energy right now to align with that, or I can beg, which actually puts all of my energy in opposition to whatever is happening, which causes me way more suffering and pain. It's not bogging down in the story. It's not telling the story over and over and over again to try to get enough people to say, yeah, you're right, that is wrong, and that's what you should have, and that's what they believe, and whatever. It's not that, and it's not outcomes. It's not specific. It's, I know this is good, or it's good for me. If it's good for me, help me learn the lesson. Help me learn it. It's not denying the existence of troubles. It's not using God to pole vault over the garbage in your life. I admit, I have garbage in my life. But if I don't try to use spirit to pole vault over it, what I know is that the divine walks me through every step of it, and every step is for my good. I learn something. I not only learn something, I become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. You don't get strong if somebody just hurls you to your destination. You get strong by walking there. And you never walk there alone. That's what prayer is. You never walk there alone. So I want to take a few minutes to explain to you what our prayer partners do for us. You hear us talking about them every week, and I know a lot of you do take advantage of that. Here's what our prayer partners do. They pray for our church community as a whole. They pray for each other and for all individuals that make up this community and the wider community. Using affirmative prayer, which is the prayer model that I just described to you, that idea of awareness, oneness, speaking that God is greater, believing it is done, giving thanks, and then letting go of it. That is the kind of prayer that your prayer partners use when they pray with or for you. They pray over all the prayer requests that are written or emailed or called or texted or told in any way. Get it to a prayer partner or get it to somebody who knows who a prayer partner is, and your prayer request will go to the prayer team or to the individual prayer partner if you don't want it known by more than just that one person. The prayer partners hold confidence. They're at work for you every day of the week. On Sunday morning, we always have a prayer partner ready to pray with you live and in person right there at the back of the sanctuary. Our prayer partners also will reach out to, they have a list of people that they're specifically praying for the whole church, but these are the people that I am personally praying for.
on a daily basis, and they reach out to you monthly just to have contact, to say, would you like a prayer right now? Is there anything going on in your life that you might need help with? And if you don't want them to call you, all you have to say is, please don't call me. What I've done for years with my prayer partner is I say yes to prayer, and I might let them leave it on my voicemail. That way, I get to listen to it more than once. It's okay. So they are trained in this affirmative prayer. They are there to hold the truth that the Spirit of God within and among us, within and among you, and the people for whom you request prayer, that all-encompassing Spirit of love is greater than any circumstance, disease, injury, fear, grief, loss, or financial situation. God is greater than all that, and they will lovingly and briefly listen to you, witness, acknowledge your pain, your situation, the person for whom you might be asking prayer. Not bogging down in the story, it's enough to know, I hear that really hurts, or that must be really scary for you. Let's go into the solution now. Invite that open heart space, invoke that divine presence or awareness of that divine presence. They state the truth aloud. God is already present in this condition. Even if I wasn't praying, God's already there. But guess what? I am aligning my will with God's will and giving it that much more energy. Already there. We know and see that God is already working things for good. We give thanks that it is done and all is well, and then we let go because we've already opened our hearts to God. God's got it. You don't have to keep checking back in. God, are you still at work on that? Because I'm just really not, yeah. Don't have to do that. So I ask you, when you ask for prayer, to avoid feeling like you have to give every little detail of what's being prayed over. Your prayer partners are not counsels. It's not their job to fix you. It's their job to turn your attention to the truth as quickly as possible. And to know, sometimes for us humans, to know all the specifics of the story is actually more harmful than helpful, because that part of us will go, oh, that's a big one. I have no idea how this is going to work out. It's like, no, I have to know that it's the truth for you. I know that when you're in it, you may not be able to hold that truth for yourself or for the person that you love, which is why it's so important for me to hold it for you and to hold it with you, knowing that you will be able to hold it as well. So, on the newcomer thing, or at any point in your life, if you don't know who your prayer partner is, or you want to be on the prayer partner list because you know that you're not, all you have to do is call the office, let a prayer partner know. We will add you to the list, and you will be roped into that. And you can unrope at any moment. It's also called unsubscribe, but it's the same thing. So what I'm going to do right now is recognize our prayer partners. Will all of the people who have been a prayer partner in the past but no longer are, would you please stand up for just a moment and allow us to give you our thanks? Not all of them are here. And that's okay. We give them our thanks wherever they are. And those of you who are prayer partners right now, would you please come up to the front? All right, face out. Who else is? Bronwyn is also a prayer partner who's not here. Jeff? Yeah. Lisa is now a prayer partner emeritus. Is there anybody I'm missing, y'all, that we need to hold? Okay. So you have five right now. And they split up the membership of the church. And then we redo it every year. So these are a dedicated group of COL members trained in affirmative prayer, holding spiritual space for the absolute good of all of us. Members, attendees, you don't have to pledge membership to be on our prayer list. And sustaining on a regular basis our vision of peace, of acceptance, of unconditional love, of transformation for our world and for our community. So we are spiritual space holders, lovers of God and God's people, keeping the high watch, seeing the highest and best, knowing that God is greater than any circumstance, condition, feeling, or fear. We stand firm and peaceful, knowing the supremacy of God's power, affirming the truth of God's love in the face of any challenge. Prayer partners, would you turn and face me? All prayer partners are required to have a willingness to represent the spiritual energy of the Church of One Love in thought, word, and deed in any given situation. Are you willing to do so?
Yes.
Prayer partners, do you promise to uphold to the best of your ability the mission, vision, and values of the Church of One Love? Prayer partners, are you willing to hold the consciousness of perfect love and light for the Church of One Love as a whole and for every individual therein?
Yes.
Yeah. You notice how the yeses are just getting. Are you able to believe and to remind others that God is greater, that we live in God and God in us, therefore the power within us is greater than any human circumstance?
Yes.
Yeah. Prayer partners, yeah, on behalf of the congregation of the Church of One Love, I thank you for your willingness. I honor you for your spiritual courage, and I welcome you into the sacred service of partnership in prayer with the Church of One Love community. Turn around, welcome your new prayer team.